What's up, and welcome to Just Be Humans, the definitive podcast for business leaders who have built their businesses through relationships and are looking to digital marketing to scale those relationships in order to punch through the revenue ceilings and take their business to the next level. I am your host, Danny Marowinski, and in today's episode, we're going to be breaking down high-value offers that actually grow B2B businesses. So let's jump right in. So when we think of offer, oftentimes we're thinking about what kind of offer can we wrap up our products or services. We think inwardly. We think about how we can better do the packaging, right? How we can do the messaging better, what we can do for a trial, for credits, so on and so forth. And where these are all kind of great entry points to the services, pilot programs, I mean, you name it, there's a million and two different ways that you can do the try before you buy, right? Where we can take our customers and date them before we get married, you know, all these different cliche terms that we use. And sure, these are great ways to get people involved in your services and in your products. And I really have nothing against them. The only problem that I have is when we're talking to total strangers and we're bringing them into these trial periods or these pilots or so on and so forth, it's still very transactional, right? It's still a sale. And when we're building relationships, yes, we are in fact selling ourselves much as they are selling themselves to us. That's the beauty of it in nurturing a relationship, right? And you could argue that when you're dating somebody for the first time, you're selling each other yourselves, right? Before you actually get married and so on and so forth. And the same rules apply in business. But when we're building relationships, it's kind of like when we go straight to the offer of our services and the transaction itself, it's kind of like us showing up on our first date and talking about marriage, right? And talking about what our offer is if they were to marry us. And it's kind of like, hey, we can do this trial thing and why don't we get engaged right now and we can test out the waters. Let's pilot this whole marriage concept. But here, jump into this pilot program. Don't worry, 2 weeks, free trial, cancel at any time. Just give me your credit card information before we start, right? Like, so very transactional, like cutting straight to the point. And look, I get it. Sometimes that just works. And if you're large enough, especially in the tech space, and you have such a high value in the platform that you're using, sure, it can work. A great example of this, of how this works, is one of my favorite tools in SEO, which is SEMrush. So SEMrush allows you to do 10 actions on their platform at no charge. You simply give them your email and you can drop in URLs and start to pull SEO audits and information on websites. Great service. I use it all the time. And yes, I have converted to a paying customer. And no, I've never talked to a human being in that process. So look, I bring that up as an example because yes, it can work. But typically that starts working once you have brand authority, once you have domain authority over a market and you have enough of an influence that the users are actually marketing your pilot, your trial, your services, right? So the users are starting to build the relationships because how did I hear about SEMrush? Was it that SEMrush has targeted me? Of course not. I did research. I went through and I did blogs, top 10 SEO tools. I tried Ahrefs, right? Like I tried other things until I settled on what worked for me in the moment. And that happened to be SEMrush. But that came through the influencer campaign of the users that were doing it. Another great example of this was when I was pursuing Amazon FBA and going down that path, right? In my digital marketing career, this is maybe like 5 to 7 years ago. There was a really great company out there. I think there still exists, called Jungle Scout. And they had this tool that you could use for free on their website, where you could drop in the seller ID information of an Amazon account, and it would tell you roughly about how many orders they sold of that product in a given niche category. That was really interesting if you're pursuing Amazon FBA, because you can find high, you know, volume of sales, and then you look for relatively low reviews and so on and so forth to find a product placement to then go ahead and do a drop shipping product or an Amazon FBA product, right? And again, great tool, but how did I find out about that? Well, I naturally was looking into information around how to create an Amazon FBA account and what that looks like, right? So I was looking at influencers and I was looking at people and watching YouTube videos. And guess what? They referenced this tool, Jungle Scout, that was free. That's how I found Jungle Scout. Then I started consuming Jungle Scout's content. And then I started trying their free tools. Eventually, they did get me as well. And I became a paid member to their platform when I got very serious about Amazon FBA. So again, another scenario where their offer of this free tool works, but only because they have enough of a user base that the user base is marketing it for them. So the high value offer to both of these tools, Jungle Scout and SEMrush, wasn't what they created themselves. The users created the high value offer. The users are the ones who wrote the blog posts, the ones that did the vlog content, the educational pieces that I required at the time when I first found these platforms. So I hope you're seeing the trend here. It's not so much that the trial offer was the actual initial offer that got me into the platform. It wasn't that at all. In fact, it was the content around it that educated me, that got me into the trial and the pilot, that eventually got me into as a paid customer. So how do we do this? If we're a growing business, say we got 20 million, 30 million, 40, 50 million even in annual revenue. We've done something right. We've built up enough relationships. We have pilot programs. And you know what? They work really well when we have referrals and so on and so forth. But when it comes to pure strangers, we're just struggling getting our offer out there. And the craziest part to this is that we know, because we have the data in our business, that when our customers enter into this pilot program, we have a 75-80% chance of converting them over to a paying customer. What does that tell us? Well, our offer actually has a lot of value. So why on earth wouldn't a stranger want to try it? Well, we're missing the intermediate step, right? And that intermediate step is the part where we actually build the relationship. So just like I explained in Jungle Scout and SEMrush, see, I already had a relationship with that with those companies, not because of the company, but because the users created my relationship for me. They created the high value offer. And that's what we're figuring out here today in this podcast. How do we create high value offers that actually convert for our businesses? So let's take a step back for a second and let's think about this. Now, okay, we've got a decent product. We got a decent service. We have some type of a, you know, try before you buy method or methodology. All that's great, fine and dandy. But we don't have the brand authority. We don't have the clout of thousands of users and influencers naturally just using our products just yet. We're growing and we believe that that's going to be the case. And yes, of course, that's kind of the holy grail in digital marketing is when you have influencers naturally making content about your stuff because your stuff has so much value, but we're not there yet. So what can we do? Well, let's think about human psychology for a second and let's take that empathetic approach. First and foremost, when we are approaching strangers, and let's just take this back to the networking examples I use in past episodes. Because oftentimes when we're building these relationships, we are in fact building real human, genuine relationships before we get into a paying customer. What's the best way to do that? In person, brushing shoulders, getting to know people, meeting their families, meeting their kids, understanding their life mission and goals beyond just work, right? Like that's where real human connection happens. That's where trust is built. And once that trust is established, and we do that kind of try before we buy, that's where we get these lifelong customers. And we know that because we've grown our businesses this way, but we can't figure out how to punch through and scale. So let's think about the consumer. Let's think about the stranger consumer, okay? The one that doesn't know who you are because you don't quite have that brand authority yet. So when we think about that stranger, and we take that empathetic approach. Again, I've talked about this before too. It doesn't matter how good or how much value your product or service has. It really doesn't to the stranger. The stranger isn't going to take their time out of the day to go test and try your product out of the gates. There's going to be a smaller percentage that might, and that percentage is likely going to be 3% to possibly upwards of 20% of the general populace, because that 3% are folks that are actually buying now, and that other lower 17% are the ones that are problem aware and are shopping for your product. And by the way, that's all about the larger market formula. You can look that up. It's a pretty tried and true standard in this space across multiple different industries. So realizing we're going to have a very small percentage converting into our trials, what can we do to increase that? Well, from an empathetic approach, these folks, these strangers, they've gotten to where they are in their career, in their business, whatever the case is, without you. And we need to know and understand that. We need to not be so vain to think that we are so great that they're never going to get anywhere without us. That's not the case. These folks have created their career, their life, everything without ever knowing who you were or your company was. That's step one, accepting and understanding of that. Once you really, truly understand that, it's going to change the way you approach people. You're going to approach them with empathy, meaning, wow, look at how far you've come. That's the kind of approach. You're going to establish that person, your ideal customer, already as a thought leader in the space. You're going to give them the ability and platform to share their story. And if we think about all these sales books and training books, right, what do we talk about all the time? Types of questions we can ask our prospect to get them to open up. Ways to counter rebuttals. Again, why? So we can get them to open up. And why do we want them to open up? Well, they're going to tell us naturally about their pain points, about the things that we can solve. So we want them talking first, and then we come through and interject our solution. That's the way traditional sales has gone. And where that, I believe that that's still a valid process. I just think that we've tried to get all of these shortcuts and hacks. Always be closing, always be leaving, do this, do that, frame selling, this, that, the other, all of these strategies that we could, that there's a million and two guru books out there from. And trust me, I've read the bulk of them all around how we can better convert the customer. Yet none of them talk about building an environment where they feel comfortable opening up. So let's talk that down, because that, in fact, is where the offer lies. So crafting an environment. When we look at, and I'll just use the SEM Rush and the Jungle Scout example I used from before. See, I needed an environment. I needed a learning environment. I knew that there was this opportunity with Amazon FBA at the time, right? Because in my younger digital marketing years, I succumbed to what most of us have seen out there, and most of us have now realized is bullshit, but that is passive income, meaning I build this thing and I automate it, and then I sit back on the beach and I look at my phone and I watch the numbers go up, and wow, look at me, I get to do no work and live my beautiful life, right? Like, and I get it, it's a fairy tale life. I bought into that. And most of us know in this space and in any type of profession, if you've grown a business, that's just not simply the case. Like, that really doesn't happen until you've already generated some significant form of wealth. And the only way you're getting passive income is through stocks and dividends or investing into companies or so on and so forth, where you don't have to be as hands-on. But when you're building your business, there is no such thing as passive income. And I learned that lesson the hard way, right? But the point was, is I drank the Kool-Aid out of the gates, believing that this was a thing. So I had a belief around it. That enticed me to want to learn. And guess where the platform was to teach me? YouTube. That was where the high value offer was. It was in the content that was around it, right? That was the environment that I sought after to find that eventually got me into the product, that eventually got me into a sale. So now here we are, back to us, our business. How do we craft environments to where we can create one in which education happens? Because education is a natural part of you getting people into your product. They got to learn about it. But more importantly, before they learn about your product, they need to learn about their problem. They need to learn about what solutions that they can create, and so on and so forth. So here's a couple strategies that we've used in a handful of our businesses at ExitBuilt that have worked extremely well. First and foremost, how do we create that environment to get folks to open up to us as strangers quickly? Well, let's take the empathetic approach. Again, realizing that they've gotten where they are without us, what if we create an environment in which they could share their story? Okay. If we could get them to open up and naturally share their story, and what's the value prop back to them? Distribution of their story, meaning we will market you. We will do that. So let's take a look at my podcast, Just Be Humans. This is my high value offer. I'm not, bullshitting here. I'm being very transparent. We created Just Be Humans as a way for us to invite folks that have grown their business to some significant degree through relationships and are looking to branch into digital marketing. Why? Because my company, Exit Built, also has solutions around lead generation to do just that. Okay, so, and I know that there's going to be a percentage of folks that come onto this show that will naturally want to do business with us. Now, I don't know exactly what that percentage is, and I'm not here to hard sell anybody. As a matter of fact, you're going to notice that I don't do a lot of talking about my business. I only use it to reference examples of work that we've done to show that there's real tangible outcomes to this. But outside of that, this is really driven by their story and by the people that are interested in listening to it. And the goal here is to bring value back and create an environment where people can open up and share their stories, and those that are listening can learn something, right? And that they can take away and go apply. Because I know that if I invest into these people, if I invest my time — I'm not getting paid to do this — if I invest my time to go find and garner stories and share those at scale, and those stories help people, that if I invest in helping people, people will naturally want to come back and do business with me. I'm going to start to build relationships at scale, and it's already working. In 3 short episodes, we've already had that experience happen. Okay. So that I'm telling you guys this because I'm literally practicing what I'm preaching, and this is the exact example on how to do it. So when you create the podcast, right, or some type of platform for someone to share their story, we have to take in consideration people in general. There are some people that would love to be on camera and love to be in the limelight and love to get attention and fame and so on and so forth. And then there's other people that they don't want to be in the public eye. They don't want their story shared. They don't want a lot of attention, but they are interested in still telling their story, because that is one common denominator that, regardless of how extrovert or introvert we are, us as human beings, we are storytellers. That is what we do. We do it day in and day out. We do it with our kids. We do it with our family. We do it with our friends. We do it with our business colleagues. We do it with strangers. We do it with the person checking us out at Starbucks, right? We share mini stories and long form stories all day long. Why is social media such a big hit? Because it capitalized on the storytelling capability of human beings. So, if you can create an environment like a podcast or a newsletter, or you could create a publication, a vlog, so on and so forth, you can create an environment in which folks can share their story. Now, if it is the person who wants to garner the attention and wants to gain the fame and the limelight and so on and so forth, well, then you can offer them value in the way of marketing their story and marketing to the general populace, right? And getting them more attention through your platform, sharing it into your networks and so on and so forth. That comes with value. If it's the other side, where someone's a huge introvert, they don't want the limelight, they don't want to be in the public eye, well, how can you support them in an environment like a podcast or a newsletter or so on and so forth? You can do it on an anonymous level, okay? And even the introverts that don't want the attention, they still want their story to be heard, whether that's from their inner circle or their second degree circle, or if it's that they're okay with it being out in the limelight, they just don't want it pointed back at them to share their opinion. So that's where things like written publications, blogs, newsletters, things of that nature work very well, because people still are interested in the story and they still like to share that story. They just don't want the limelight. So either way, we're creating an environment in which we invite people to come on and be a part of this story, and then we're going to share their story. So how do you approach that person to get them to be a part of your show or to be a part of your newsletter or so on and so forth? You do what's right, which is identifying them as a thought leader in their space, even without your product or service. Because guess what? They are. Most decision makers are some form of a thought leader in their given niche or lane. And it doesn't matter if it's the small business owner who's broke even their entire life and you're trying to help them and you have a product or solution for them, or it's a Fortune 500 C-suite executive who has access to millions in budget, right? It doesn't matter on either fronts. We need to identify and establish them as a thought leader, as a decision maker, and show them the utmost respect in the process. We would want that as business owners, wouldn't we? I mean, it's not that crazy to think about, right? Do unto others as you'd like to do to yourself, right? That whole saying, you know, it's the same concept here. So step one is when you go reach out to these individuals, you reach out with that empathetic message. Hey, so-and-so, I took the time. I looked at your background. I looked at your history. I saw where you came from through college. I saw your career path, and I've identified you as a thought leader in your space. I would be very interested in having you on as a guest on my podcast, on my show, on my newsletter, whatever that is, whatever that medium is that you're going to select, for you to come share your story of how you got to where you are and where you are going. That's it. That's where we start, because most people will gravitate to that. In fact, they'll gravitate to that at a very high percentage. To give you real numbers on this, we've successfully produced this through the course of thousands of calls where we're getting a 21% conversion rate with total strangers. 21%. Think about that for a second. Look at all your digital marketing strategies and everything else. What kind of percentage conversion rate are you guys doing? I highly doubt it's all the way up at 21% to start this relationship. It's a very high number in this space. And this is only on a cold call. This isn't through any other form of marketing. 21% of us picking up the phone, calling the thought leader we've identified, saying, we've identified you as a thought leader. Are you interested in joining us on this platform? 21% are saying yes and showing up to it. So that should tell you something. It tells us something. People like environments in which they can tell their story. Again, whether they're introvert or extrovert, it doesn't matter. You just have to set the environment up to best suit them and give them that option. Do you want to be in the limelight? Do you want to be behind closed doors? Because one way or the other, we can do that and we can accommodate for you. That's step one. Once you approach these people and you start to identify them as thought leaders, then when you bring them onto the show, the framework in which you interview them is fairly straightforward. And we see this in almost every other podcast, anywhere where we're bringing on guests. Introduction to who the guest is, how they got to where they are, what are they doing now? What are some trials and tribulations that they went through and then they fought over? Where are they going in the future? That is the generalized framework in which you're going to see everything from every story that you could ever imagine. I've used this example in the past. Look at the Bible. Look at Jesus. Look at that story, right? It's very synonymous there. A miraculous person, trials and tribulations, death, resurrected, so on and so forth. It's the same framework. And it's true for every other story that actually has some type of impact. If you look at Hollywood, if you look at the way they structure their stories, protagonists, antagonists, struggles, some overcoming things, you know, that's all part of the story. And we gravitate towards that because we learn something. We get something from an educational standpoint, but we also get something from an entertainment standpoint. And we enjoy that journey and that process. So we need to do the same thing when we're interviewing people, when we're bringing people on and creating these environments to add them in. Now, in the process of doing that, depending on what topic you select to talk to them about, so let's take tech, for instance, and let's say that we only sell into CTOs. They're our ideal customer profile, CTOs and mid-market companies. Well, when we are approaching CTOs and mid-market companies, again, hey, amazing, you know, work that you've done, so on and so forth. Come be a part of our show. How did you get there? So on and so forth. What they're going to naturally tell you is they're going to tell you about the challenges that they had, how they overcame them, what got them to the point that they're at now, what struggles they're currently facing, how they're planning on overcoming them, and how they envision their future moving forward. From a salesperson's perspective, that is the gold that we look for when we are trying to get someone to close a deal with us. It is exactly what we're looking for, except that rather than force feeding this and force feeding the questions and forcing these folks to come forth and tell us, we're giving them an environment where they're naturally telling us. And what happens after that is amazing. you actually start building that relationship from them telling their story. They now give you full access and permission to contact them in an appropriate manner. Why? Because after they tell their story, what's the first thing you're going to do? You're going to take that story, you're going to edit it, you're going to trim it up, you're going to put it into a nice, neat little package, and you're going to send it back to them and say, hey, look, here's your story. We did it for you. So you already have permission to re-engage them. And at that point, depending on what kind of experience you've cultured for them and the environment in which you've created, that is where you're going to find people that are going to naturally want to keep talking and communicating with you. You're going to create a very positive environment and experience. They're going to be like, wow, that was amazing. That was so good, I would have actually paid money to do it. That's the level of the experience that we need to deliver when we bring on people into a show, when we bring on people into a guest, into our environment, into our high-value offer. That's where we do it, and we do it all for free. We don't charge. We don't talk about charges. We don't talk about our product or service. We don't talk about any of it. It is not a sales script. It is for them and ultimately for the audience that we are trying to capture. That is the forefront of why we're doing it. That's why we create these high value offers. And that is going to position our company and ourselves as someone who actually gives a shit about people. Mind blowing that that's something that converts in this space, people. Like, we have to actually care. We have to care about these people, and we have to care about the people that are listening in. And if we do that alone, we will start to see our business increase. It is what it is. That's the reason why we can position ourselves in the marketplace. For instance, in my company, ExitBuilt, in digital marketing, what's our differentiator? Honesty and transparency. Fucking mind blowing that that is the actual thing that is the differentiator. It's crazy to me, especially every single time I say it. It's like, what? It's crazy that I have to say that. Yet it resonates so well with the customers that we work with, because guess what? They don't experience that traditionally in this marketplace. So the same rules apply in the high value offer. It's not for you. We know that by doing this, yes, there will be something coming back to us. But ultimately, it's not for you. It's for them, and it's for the audience. Once you craft that and you deliver your media kit back over to them, social media clips, the raw content, transcripts, the newsletter, the quotes, the images, whatever it is that you put together in a nice little neat package. Maybe it's swag. Maybe you send them a gift packet of a logoed shirt that you have or a logoed koozie, right? It could be whatever you want to do as far as how much value you want to bring back to them. But that's where they're going to be like, wow, that was a cool experience. And guess what? They're going to answer your call every single time you pick up the phone and dial them. Now, what you do beyond that is the next phase of the offer. And that's where we end up into nurture, okay? Nurturing those leads, nurturing our guests. The way we nurture is done exactly the same way that we would nurture a relationship that we value. Think about your best friend. Think about the person that you know that you've created this relationship with over the years. But rewind back to when you first became friends. You weren't best friends when you first became friends. It's kind of like that scene in Step Brothers. Did we just become best friends? When did that moment happen in your relationship? At what point did you guys start calling each other best friends? And what was it that built your relationship to that point where you could say we're now best friends, right? Because typically when you do that, it's kind of like when you say you're engaged or you're married or you're dating somebody, it has to be a mutual agreement from the relationship. You can say it like, and we've all experienced this before, like, hey, that guy's my best friend. It's one of the fakest things, and I've seen it all the time in business, and it fucking is annoying as shit. And I think you guys would agree with that. When you have a colleague who you're trying to win a business with, and like, this is my best friend over here. It's like, dude, we're not best friends. We just work together. Like, what are you talking about? Right. So there is an inauthentic way of doing that. My point is that when it's authentic, where both parties are pointing at each other and saying, yeah, we're best friends, it's because we've taken steps and created experiences for one another that has let us open up, that has let us start to congeal as two human beings, in which that we say, wow, that is my best friend. That's the same kind of experiences and relationships that we need to deliver back to our prospects. Now, does that mean you need to go spend hundreds of dollars on dinners or thousands of dollars on golf? Maybe, if that makes sense. But it's not so much that you need to wine and dine them and that you need to keep gifting them, because guess what? That eventually will become inauthentic as well, and they'll know it. They will know it. If you take a total stranger, you bring them into your show, you start that relationship, and then you turn around and you're like, hey, I want to pay for you to do this cruise. I want to pay for you to do this. I want to pay for your dinner. I want to pay for fancy this, fancy that. They're going to be like, what's the catch? Red flags are going to go up. And we get that and we know that. So rather than us coming and sending a bunch of dollars out of the gates to them to try and wine and dine them, we can take another approach, which is, hey, Joe or Sue or whoever it is, right? I'm just reaching back out after I send you my media kit. I really was compelled about your story. Would you be open to grabbing a cup of coffee with me and just telling me a little bit more? I'm fascinated with it. I want to learn more about what you've done. I would give that a 95% conversion rate that those folks will say yes. In fact, I would actually give it a 99.9% conversion rate. The only reason why they would say no, and if there's anything less than that, is because you sucked at delivering the environment in the first place and you probably sold yourself in the process. So if you're sitting there and the interview is going and you're like, oh yeah, like totally get that pain point. Have you looked at our business? Have you looked at our solutioning? Well, of course, then it's going to be transactional and this whole thing fails. So instead, if you just say, wow, that's fascinating, that's interesting, share their story, engage with them, continue to promote them, so on and so forth, they're naturally going to say, yeah, sure, I'll grab a cup of coffee. At that point, when you grab a cup of coffee, you can start to talk a little bit more intimate about business. And if you keep the focus on them, they will naturally feel inclined to ask you about you. You're not trying to sell you. You're not trying to jump to that conclusion. You're trying to create an environment in which they feel comfortable enough and that you spark their curiosity enough because you haven't talked about yourself that they naturally feel inclined to ask you about you. And that will happen every single time in these interactions if you do it right. And that's your chance to start to talk about your business and what you do. Now, does that mean you go straight into pitch? No. In fact, you do and you mirror what they did. You do the same framework that they gave their message to you. So if their framework was started as a paper boy and I worked my way up to manager and I worked my way up to director and then eventually I hit this role as CTO and after CTO, I'm planning on doing X, Y, or Z. Then when you talk about your business, you don't talk about your current offers. You talk about why and how you started your business. So you start talking about, I started as a paperboy. I moved up to manager. I felt the need for the entrepreneurial thing. I went off and I did this. Why? Because of X, Y, and Z. Again, still not talking about our offer, our actual offer back to us. We're just building that relationship because naturally they're going to start to inquire more about your offers, more about your businesses, and it's going to become their idea to do a pilot, not yours. And that's the piece. That's the holy grail. That is inbound marketing to a T. That's what we do. That's why we spend millions of dollars on ads and this and that and the other, to get people's attention, to look at your stuff, to say, I'm interested, to say, can I try it? So we need to get our customers when we're building these relationships to do the same thing. That's how we start to scale our relationships. And yes, there's still a lot of high touch, but here's the interesting part is as you mature this model, you will also mature the way that you build these relationships and you will make it more and more scalable as you go along. But it takes doing the work first. It takes getting the elbow grease out there and actually bumping shoulders with these people and getting to know them as human beings and positioning yourself as a humanistic person, as someone who cares about humanity, as someone who cares about them and the people that you service. And most businesses that I talk to do give a shit. They do care about their customers. They do care about people in general. So it's not like some foreign concept. I think most of us already gravitate to that. I just think that we get so caught up in KPIs and quotas and things of that nature. And we only look at our bottom line and we look at revenue projections and we look at cash flow and we realize where we want to go as a company. And we start looking inward and we start looking at how we can move the needle for our business. And that's the only thing that we give a shit about. And we forget the whole reason why we got here in the first place. We forget our own journey and we forget to share that back to the people that we're trying to build these relationships. And we definitely forget doing that at scale when we're putting out content. That's the whole piece of this. So I encourage you guys, take a look inward, Take a look at your current processes, what's been working, what's not. Pick one of your most successful relationships. Identify what is the number one relationship that moved the most for your business. And then think about, how did that relationship come about? Oh, a friend referred me, right? Or a colleague referred me, or a customer referred me to this amazing relationship. Great. How did that person get to the point where they felt comfortable enough to refer you? What did you do with that person? Right? We keep boiling it backwards to understand, when did we first meet that person and what garnered that point where they felt so compelled to stick their neck out on the line to recommend you to this person. We need to start breaking those things down, and we need to start focusing our attention there and start to create these environments to create more of those opportunities for ourselves, not focus in on how many people we can get into our pilot this month. That will naturally happen if we start giving a shit more, if we start caring and going about this with an empathetic manner. And if we create these environments, which is the high value offer, in which people can come and be a part of it and share their story. That's the core of today's message. And I encourage you all to take a deep look back into how you've created your business so far. What relationship garnered the biggest ROI for your business? And what does that relationship look like today? Because I'm sure it's not just a one-way street where they're sending you money and you're doing nothing, right? Like, you're doing something back that garnishes the justification for the money. But you got to think all the way back to, when did this relationship start and how did it start? And what can I do with a high value offer that actually doesn't point directly back at my business, but it points directly back at them as human beings and their audience and the audience that you're trying to garner around it? That's how you craft a high value offer in this space. Again, 21% conversion rate around this. Okay, guys, these are real numbers. This isn't bullshit. This is something that I hope you guys take to heart and think about this. It doesn't matter what industry you're in. If you could be in the cleaning industry, you could be in the government contracting industry, you could be in the tech industry, you could be in this professional services industry. It doesn't matter, okay? Because truthfully, we have to figure out ways to cultivate these relationships. As your business model starts to mature, as you start to get brand awareness and authority, and now all of a sudden you have your users, your people that are consuming, your customers starting to share information about you, that's when you do the same thing, but you do it with them. You create a high value offer and a place for your customers to come share their story about your product, and you promote them because they're doing it for a reason. Maybe they became a guru, a professional coach. Maybe they have a course that they've built. Maybe they're an influencer and they're doing paid campaigns. But regardless of what they're doing, they have a self-fulfilling purpose as to why they're doing what they're doing, to market you. Maybe it's a direct correlation to a referral or some type of an affiliate agreement. That's great, but that only goes but so far, because affiliate marketers are looking for multiple companies to promote, not just one. And no one's going to go fully exclusive unless they're basically working for you, right? So, or it's just such a ridiculous amount of money that they're making that they can't say no. So you have to take that into account too, right? And that's where it gets really interesting in that high value offer, where you're going to have to be comfortable promoting your competitors and promoting other people. What? Promoting my competitors? How dare you? Yeah, because you know what? If you're the one, and if you're the authority that's saying, hey, these competitors are great for X, Y, and Z, they're going to come to you to learn about that. And guess what? They're probably going to come back to you to do business. So again, I hope this helps you guys. I hope this is a good nugget for you to take away into this week and moving forward. So really start to think about it. And look, even if you're just a salesperson for a company, okay, even if you're just a director or a manager, or even just a W-2 employee, or even a 1099 contractor, it doesn't matter what the case is, you can create these environments to help support your business and the thing that makes you money, but also your personal brand that will eventually be the thing that gets you to the next level, whether that be entrepreneurship or the C-suite or the VP level or so on and so forth. Because at the end of the day, what people are investing into is people. They are investing into people when they bring you up to an executive level salary. The company is saying, hey, we believe in you. We're going to give you a lot of money because we're investing into you, and we want all of you coming back into this business. So if you can create this even outside, if you're not the business owner, you can still create these environments. And guess what? If it's done well, the company should support it and back it. And any company that tells you not to do that kind of thing is somebody that doesn't have your best interests in place in the first place, and you should probably leave that company. So I hope this all makes sense. This is, again, Just Be Humans. That's the whole gist of this, right? And this is the definitive podcast for business leaders who have built their businesses on relationships and are looking to grow and scale. Last episode, we talked about government contracting and digital marketing in that space. We've talked about business models in the episode before that around social media platforms and search engine platforms. And then before that, we even talked about micro conversions. Coming up on Thursday, we're going to be diving into the law of averages, which is one of my favorite topics. It's the benchmark for all sales and marketing. I'm going to dive into that, as well as connecting the dots into the humanistic experience around that, right? Of course, because that's the gist of this podcast. New episodes come out every Tuesday at 11 a.m. and Thursday at 11 a.m. If you're interested in being a guest, swing over to www.justbehumans.com. And you'll see on the main page a little call to action button that says, interested in being a guest. Walk through that, schedule yourself, and we'll bring you on the show and have you be a guest to this show. So I hope you guys have a great rest of your day. Thanks again for listening. And be sure, if you find this information valuable, if you like what we're doing here, my only ask is leave us a review. And that definitely helps us and helps us spread this message even farther. So outside of that, thank you guys. Have a great rest of your day. And remember, just be humans.